This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
If you enjoy deep dives into solved and unsolved murder cases, then Murder True Crime Stories is the podcast for you. Find Murder True Crime Stories on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yesterday we had Al Robertson on the show. It was a great conversation. Duck Dynasty, Beardless Brother. And I really enjoyed having that discussion with him at this time because I said this to him yesterday and I wasn't blowing smoke. Isn't the Robertson family one of our generation's most iconic families in entertainment?
Yeah.
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of in entertainment other than maybe like the Baldwins or something.
Ooh. Team Robertson.
Yeah.
All the way.
Hey, the
Baldwins are all over the place.
Exactly.
Is it just really Alec? There's another one.
Well, Steven.
Is he nuts?
And
who's Billy. The conservative?
Billy Baldwin.
I think it's Stephen
Baldwin is I think conservative. I don't know that he talks a lot about politics, but I think he is.
Conservative-ish,
yeah.
At least.
He's the outspoken Christian.
Is he super outspoken about it?
Yeah.
I don't... It kind of goes to our YouTube poll for today, and we want your feedback in the chat as well. So come subscribe. You got to subscribe and be a subscriber for 5 minutes before you can comment. And that's just to keep out the crazies. If you're crazy, we just want you to be committed.
Mm-hmm. And
by committed, I mean to our show, not like to a facility.
We want you to comment in that first 5 minutes.
Maybe
too,
both.
We just can't do anything about it. It's not us.
That's going to get clipped and used against me somewhere, somehow. But it's in the positive impact. If I find out that a actor, actress, singer, or whatever, we played that Gwen Stefani clip of her doing a Hallow prayer. I didn't know she was into that. That was brand new information when I played it on the show.
Yeah, I had heard that she was she had withdrawn from the limelight a little bit, and she was seeking Jesus.
Well, Blake Shelton
is that serious?
Yeah.
Blake Shelton said her faith has forced him to start going to church more often and draw closer in his own.
I heard that via my wife. That's the only reason I know about it.
And you believed her?
I believe all women. And I hashtag it.
How do you know?
That's amazing.
Are you a doctor? A biologist?
How do I know if it's a woman? Is that what you're asking?
I'm inclined to believe you, but I'm going to need some verification.
Trust but
verify. Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah.
I like what you
Ronald
have to
Reagan
say,
said.
But I'm going to need to...
look under the hood.
I need to kick the tires
look
on this.
Look what I found on Magnus.
I'm just encouraged by people who aren't afraid anymore to associate themselves with something that has to do with faith. That's the opposite of finding out that they have something to do with, like,
the devil.
I was thinking of all of the things. I'm like, I don't want to say that word, but the allegations of what the Diddy stuff is are so repulsive. I do want to know everybody who's involved in that. I want to know the names.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to know the extent. And I want them to suffer the consequences of what they've participated in.
You and America. America wants to know. And this is where we get into the outsider discussion, where we go, hey, you know what's a good thing is that Trump is nominating outsiders to these agencies. That's kind of the point.
Well, speaking with Al Robertson yesterday and talking about, you know, he kind of said, you know, there's a few people in our family. He's like, most of the family is right, but there's some other lefties in there. We just don't talk about politics at the holidays. Isn't it weird that after the election, the immediate knee-jerk reaction from so many of these people is to be like, cut everybody off completely. The fact that the phrase no contact is like a capital N, capital C phrase that's part of the conversation right now. Like, you can see people abbreviating it NC to go no contact. It's a very aggressive mentality in communities that specifically, like, I guess the transgender community, like, this is where I see it used and talked about quite often, which is, if people are not being supportive fully to your approval of your lifestyle, you're supposed to completely cut them off. And, you know, if you've got people who disagree with something you're doing in your life, then that's a pretty extreme disagreement. That's a pretty extreme thing to have a disagreement over. Like, some people might be like, oh, I wanted you to fulfill your, you went to school to be XYZ, and now you've decided to stop and go learn DEF or whatever, and people are disappointed in that. You don't cut them out of your life. You don't cut your family out of your life. You try to figure out where you intersect and where you agree, and you try to build on that. And when the holiday season comes around right after an election, and you've got all of these people so aggressively telling you to cut people out of your life, it really doesn't make sense to me on a level that would be productive for anything other than the misery loves company, sowing division, and trying to keep it as divided as possible. The View, which we like watching a lot more after the election than we did before, had a discussion about the holidays and what's coming up. And this is Whoopi Goldberg and Anna Navarro having a conversation. And I've said this before, I like Whoopi a lot. She's probably my favorite on there from that's a lefty. I don't feel like she is as just disgustingly angry as Joy Behar or Sunny Hostin. I feel like Whoopi is a little more independent thinking or driven than the other two. But she's talking with Anna Navarro, who for so long, I don't even think they put it up there anymore, she was always cited on CNN as a Republican strategist.
Yeah. He does this to keep you all in a panic. He does it to make you all do this and talk about him. And it's so terrible. But all we have to do from now until January 21st is be with our families, be with our kids, do our jobs, make sure our checks don't bounce, make sure that we are taking care of ourselves and our families. Whatever he's going to do, he's going to do, but do take our word for it. Things seem to move slowly because, yeah, they didn't come get Hillary, but he has other people who are ready to go, but I don't think that they can just go out and do what they want to do.
So I'm going to interrupt here because Whoopi Goldberg is giving good advice to people right now. Because listen, we all remember what it was like when Donald Trump lost in 2020 and Joe Biden won. That was a very uncomfortable time. Very uncomfortable. And I don't have people who are still in my life that are like obnoxious about winning on the other side. I do have people in my life, because I can't really keep my political thoughts a secret personally, that have cut me out and I am not of any value to them anymore. And they, you know, over the course of time, they've made that very clear that I'm not valuable to them. And at some to some point, you're just like, well, I'm glad I know and I can focus my attention other places. But when you're going to Christmas parties, when you're going to get togethers with friends or with family, you're going to these things not because of politics. You go to these things every year. It's a time to come together. It's a time to celebrate things. There's got to be stuff to talk about and things to come together over that aren't this divisive. And to me, Whoopi's like, everybody just calm down for a minute. Like, what else are you going to do?
Yeah, the saddest videos that I saw in the last month after the election were not the ones where somebody's talking, usually in their car, talking to camera about...
Yeah, in their car.
You know, look, you have to do this. I'm going to do this. We got to cut off these people in our lives. Those weren't the sad ones. That was unfortunate. The saddest ones are the ones where people, usually they're younger, they look like they're young 20s usually. I specifically remember one that was a young girl crying because she had to cut off her dad.
Yeah.
Her dad had voted for Trump, and now I can't talk to him anymore.
She had no other choice.
As if she were in a cult. I mean, that's what that sounds like, is you have been told this is right, this is wrong. Now that your dad has chosen the wrong, he is no longer a part of your life and you have no choice about it.
Yeah. It's really, really, to your point, sad. So Whoopi Goldberg is making this point, and Anna Navarro wasn't having it.
I told you last week
I disagree with you when you say that. Because we have the luxury of saying that, because we're legal, we are successful, we are... Listen, but if you're an illegal immigrant in this country, you're not going to be not in a panic.
Hold, before she goes on. Yeah?
That's why you had an election. Mm-hmm. That this is the stuff that people voted for. And you're like, well, I can't believe that I have to come on here and defend illegal immigrants. You don't. You don't have to do that.
What she goes on to say about, well, let's just listen here.
I'm working for the Department of Defense. You have a right to be
Anna,
in a panic.
You tell people to stay fraught and like this.
Telling people to prepare, Whoopi.
Do you think they're not prepared? They are prepared.
So that means they can't be relaxing and enjoying Christmas when winter is coming.
It does. You know what? I'm sorry.
I mean, I disagree.
Winter is here.
Right.
Winter's been with us. And my point is we can lay down and do nothing for the next 15 days and then be freaking out for the next two years.
But we are in a privileged position that a lot of people who are going through the same thing.
We have to figure out what we're panicking for. We don't know what we're panicking for. They're throwing 50,000 things at you to make you do this. I'm saying don't buy into that. What you have to do. Take care of your family. And when we know what is happening, when we know what we're fighting, we'll get out and fight. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm not saying don't do anything. I'm saying don't be this.
They are surrounded by the most Christmas cheer with a beautiful Christmas tree and decorations. Like, it couldn't look happier on the set of The View. And what Whoopi is saying is, like, everybody calm down. Like, what are you going to do in the next 15 days, in the next, you know, up until January 20th? Like, what are you going to do other than just be panicky? And Anna Navarro, who I will add has never looked better than she does right now. I think she realizes the misery loves company, that this is her time to shine, maybe, but she looks fantastic. So Anna Navarro, my compliments to you on you look beautiful. Whatever, moving on. Anna Navarro was like, no, you need to be in a constant state of fear and panic and preparation. Preparation for what? Her response is that this government is going to come after people who are here illegally. That's because they're here illegally. That's because they did something that was illegal. And that is a problem. And America, a majority of America, not just on the popular vote with Donald Trump, on this issue specifically, every time it was polled in the campaign, it is shocking to me how high the number is of deport everybody who is here illegally, deport them all. Because that's not actually what Donald Trump is saying about it right now. Donald Trump is saying, if you've come here and if you've committed crimes, or if you committed crimes from where you came from, we are rounding you up and we are deporting your butt so fast. It's happening. We're laying the groundwork now, so that on minute one, not even day one, minute one, we are coming after you, we are hunting you down, and we are shipping you out. And America rejoices. That's why they sent him there. I was listening to Outnumbered earlier this morning, and what's her name? I can't come up with it right now. Blonde Marie Harf was on, and I kind of like when she's on there because she's one out of four. She's a lefty, and she's there to articulate the best that the left can offer on any of these given topics. And she was repeating something that I hear the left talking about a lot. When you deport all of these illegal immigrants, you're going to deport that the prices of everything that you have is going to go up. So are you saying that you're actually trying to persuade the American people to keep individuals in this country who are willing to work for lesser conditions, that we should keep them because they will do the jobs that Americans don't want to do? And your final, you know, the straw that's going to break the camel's back here is be like, well, they can stay. I don't want to pay 30% more for my strawberries. How inhumane is that? The reason why these people in many, many situations will do these jobs is because a lot of these jobs are not above board. And they don't have to pay into these employees what they'd have to pay into American citizens. So you're treating these people like they're lesser than.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who work in America who live on the southern side of the border. They have work visas. They come here. They work hard. They're wonderful people. They're providing for their family. They're working within the system. What's wrong with that? Maybe you want to reform that system and make it easier for people to come here and do that. Then that needs to be your cause. Not, well, if you came here illegally, panic! Because that's Anna Navarro's message. And the message of Marie Harf, the Democrat on Outnumbered, is that, you know, if you ship these people out, if you deport them, it's going to cost you money. That's disgusting.
Think about it beyond the one step that you just took in that direction to make that point. Because you're saying these people will do, and they're mostly referring to people of another race, if you really want to get technical. They're going to do the lesser jobs that we don't want to do for less, and that's why we can pay less for everything. Oh, also, real quick, I want to grandstand for higher minimum wage. These people don't know what they're talking about. It's just Trump is bad.
History doesn't repeat itself, but it certainly rhymes.
It's very... very important to call out the classism that the left is constantly arguing about. They openly will say things like, all right, well, who's going to watch your kids now? Who's going to clean your house now? Who's going to cut your lawn? And I'm going, excuse me, what?
Yeah, those jobs specifically that you just chose. Thank you.
You're implying that all of these people who do these things are illegal immigrants.
Yes.
Are there any people who are here working in a legal status who might also happen to be... not from America, maybe of some sort of Latino descent, who are like, hey, shut up. Knock that off. I may look like some of those people, but I am here working within the system, maybe even towards citizenship or something, and I'd like you to hush your mouth.
You know how I know you can't bring that up, though? Is because on The View itself, about 2 weeks ago, the woman who sits on the far right of the screen, she brought up, you know what, the border counties all went hard right. They all went red, and everybody screamed at her. She's like, look, this isn't even a racist. In fact, you're being racist by not acknowledging that Latin voters don't like what you're selling.
And Sunny Hostin said they were bad Latinos.
That's right. she called back, them misogynists.
She said that they were bad at their ethnic origin.
Yes.
Because Sunny Hostin, who died and made her God?
Alan Lichtman. Remember?
Alan Rickman.
Not Alan Rickman.
Let's take a break.
The deep cut. It's a deep cut. I'm talking about the guy who, like, last week was like, you're blaspheming against me.
To chink.
Yes.
Do you care if your favorite entertainers are good people? Yes or no? I'd be curious to know if you think anybody on The View is a good person. We could have that discussion when we come back as well. Stick around. More Annie Fry Show. A little bit of fun coming up next. Don't go away. This past weekend, I was at a basketball practice, and it was my son's basketball practice, and I was there to pick him up. I had to open the gym and stuff for him. So I was playing him a little one-on-one afterwards, and he's now over 3 inches taller than me.
Okay.
And he's actually talented more. I don't know how to say this on the air without him going back and be like, Mom. One way or the other. It's different in high school. When he was in grade school, when all these kids are in grade school, I could talk about them. However, I don't know if anybody who he goes to school with knows what I do for a living. I assume some people do. I don't know what is going to happen to him when they do find out. So I have to be very sensitive to that. But his learning curve, he's learning a lot fast in basketball now. And he has some skills. He has some size now. He's a freshman. He's very green in the sense that he needs to, you know, refine all of that. But when you're 14, he's almost 15. He'll be 15 in a few weeks. Do you remember being that age as a boy? Because as a girl, I remember growing a lot between 7th and 8th grade. Doesn't it happen more for boys in high school?
Mm-hmm.
Is it? I had growing pains. Did you have physical growing pains?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
You're 5'4". What about you,
Brad? I'm not 5'4". That's not true.
I did.
Truth in reporting. 5'9".
Joints, aches and like hips and knees and
Mine was not in the joints at all. It was in like my shins.
I think this is probably indicative. Most of mine was in my brain. It was like, ouch, gosh, what's happening? And then I'd learn
of
new
all
facts.
Of the places you could have gone with that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah. When did it stop?
Never did. I still
that,
have those things.
Does it hurt right now?
Yeah.
I think it's just because you're dehydrated.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. I drink a lot of water this morning. And people are always like, did it hurt? And I'm like, what? When your brain fell from heaven? And I'm like, oh, yeah. It's a good pickup line, but I'm too smart for it.
Never been said to you ever. I was playing basketball with him, and I'm playing him one-on-one, but I know that a near 15-year-old boy and a 40-year-old woman, I got to make sure I don't hurt myself. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, even the simplest thing. It might be the fact that I play and everything's fine, and then I walk down the steps to leave the gym and hurt myself.
Yep, I do know.
Well, I tweaked my ankle.
So you're done.
We played Saturday, and it's just, like, yesterday I was like, did I do something to my foot? It's weird. And then today, I can't turn, like, you know how if you're turning or changing directions, you will, you know, take your steps and your knee and the upper part of your leg might turn a little bit before your foot does. I can't do that. I have to make like 90 degree turns.
Mm-hmm, like a robot?
Yes. Like a robot.
You don't have to talk that way. That's one of the things my huge
developing.
Brain learned.
It's with age. It's like Joe Biden.
Yeah.
I just get very frustrated with these age things where, like, there's so much creep. There's so much, like, oh, that doesn't feel right. And the next day, you're like, I'm immobile.
Mm-hmm.
How did that happen?
It's so stupid. You're like, this isn't fair. I'm fine. I didn't do anything wrong. You, body, need to get in line, you stupid foot.
Has there been anything that's hit you? You guys are both older than I am, but is there anything that we're all near the same age? Is there anything that has hit you, that's really made you feel over the hill or whatever?
The fact that I wake up in the morning, I'm just achy for no reason.
Do you get out of bed because
it hurts to
lay in bed?
No, I will lay in bed as long as I possibly can and sleep as much as I can. But when I get up, I'm like, ugh. Just like shaking off the dust, you know, adding oil to the joints like Tin Man. Brad?
I could say the gray in my beard, but what really hit me the hardest was my doctor retired, and I went and got a new doctor, and I have a doctor that is younger than I am, and that's the first time in my
life
that's ever been that way. So I was like, oh no.
Were you like, do you know what you're doing?
It does seem that way a little bit.
A little bit.
I remember watching professional athletes. I remember watching college. You know, you watch college football. We've always watched college football. I remember graduating college and being like, I'm older than all these people? Like, how is it even possible? And now that I'm 40, you know, like when Adam Wainwright was doing his old man walks through baseball mm-hmm. stadiums and he's like 2 years older than me, I'm like, easy now. And now, you know, there's got to be a couple people in the majors.
I think Franco is probably still playing.
That's possible. It just kind of creeps up on you. AOL had an article that I thought was kind of interesting. People list 30 hard truths about getting older that they weren't ready for. I think these are a little bit past 40. So I think this might be people who are retired, who are in their older age, but I thought it'd be interesting to discuss here. It says, with each passing day, number one, with each passing day, my chance to see the world passes. I don't have the money to travel as much as I want, and I will die missing out on so much. It's a sad reality for everyone, but it's still hard to handle. I think the idea of missing out on things that you thought you would do, like I can think of things in parenthood that I thought things would be a certain way, and now I'm like, like, no, that's not how it goes. I can see those things being disappointing. It's just, I guess, if you're not doing A, then what are you doing with B? Do you have big travel plans for retirement someday, or do you?
We're starting to do that now. You know, going to Japan early this year was a big, big bucket list item. We recognize, actually, this article is true because part of the reason we're trying to prioritize some of these bigger trips and stuff is that we go, well, I don't want to be in my 60s before we get to go to XYZ.
Yeah.
Not that we won't do that, but we want to do certain things that we know, like going to Japan, you are going to walk and walk and walk and walk. And it's one of the reasons they probably have a longer lifespan because they're pretty healthy in that sense. But I also know that by the time I get to be 20 years from now, I don't know if I'll want to walk that much. So we wanted to do these things now.
Number two, these are just, I'm just reading these from this AOL article. It says, I'm really old. The two hardest parts are having almost everyone you've ever known die. So your entire history dies with them and losing mobility one way or another. It sucks. I remember my grandpa who lived, I think he passed away when he was 89. He passed away in 2004. My grandma passed away in 2002. So he only lived 2 years past. It seemed like there was a lot longer than then. But I remember he was much older than she was. And I remember him. I remember that he had made the comment, like, all his friends are leaving. And you just, there's a sense of loneliness when you've outlived a lot of everything you know. And the world is moving at a faster and faster pace all of the time. That would be a very difficult thing. I don't know how you insulate yourself from that. I think about this in the regards of like having children and stuff. So there's like a there's still something to attach to yourself in your future, but it still moves. I remember being around my grandma, my other grandma after my grandpa had passed away and just thinking like the frenetic nature of all of the energy around her. That was not where she was.
Yeah. I guess the only way to really avoid that would be to die first. Because of your friend group, somebody's going to be that guy or girl.
Yeah.
You know?
Just not you.
Yeah.
Number three, losing that feeling of innocence you had in your youth. There's a long paragraph here. I'm going to summarize it. But everything, like when you're thinking about Christmas morning, to me, at least up until this point in my life, has always been adjacent to what it was like to experience it as a child. And trying to replicate something, some part of that in some way, shape, or form. So you can revisit it. And the older you get, the more you realize kind of how the world turns and everything. And it seems as though you're just kind of trying to reach backwards and grasp a hold of something that you can't get anymore. And the innocence of... I'm seeing this a lot with my older two kids right now as they're getting into high school and they're in junior high. There are things that exist in that world that didn't exist like for my 8-year-old and younger.
Yeah, it's weird to talk to my daughter now who's 10. And she's already saying things like, this Christmas just doesn't feel the same as before.
Yeah.
I'm like, honey, you're 10.
And it's going to get worse.
These are the Christmases you really want to enjoy. But all of them, I mean, it's a good life lesson because I'll do this when I'm on vacation. I'll look forward to a vacation for so long. And then I go on it and I have to remind myself, you know what? The vacation isn't the end all be all. You're still yourself. You're just on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Let go.
Seeing my parents get older. I think about my grandparents more, and I think about all four of them, and some of them seemed, as a child, a lot older than other ones did.
Mm-hmm.
And that can kind of be a choice, but that's a really challenging thing for anybody to do, is to watch life kind of creep into the generation that is ahead of you.
I don't know about you, but for me and my family, people all think of me as kind of like the youngest, because I'm just like so full of energy and I look good.
Brad,
I'm not bailing.
Brad, I was gonna do that.
I was waiting. Number five, when I, as a female, was young, I spent a lot of energy fending off unwanted attention and harassment, not every day, but enough. Now that I'm older and have started to naturally age, I pretty much feel invisible to everyone. There are pros and cons to this, of course.
What's the lesson to be learned there?
You just don't look the way you used to. And people notice. I mean, I think that the challenge for a lot of people in today's culture is to allow themselves to age in a natural way. I think any good work that is done to your physical person is work that isn't noticed. It just looks like basically, is it good genes or good docs? You don't want to be like, good genes, good docs, definitely work. You don't want to look as though people can say, well, they've had this done and they've had that done. Good work doesn't look like it's been done.
Yeah. I had people in the last couple of weeks say, you know, I really prefer, I like Matt Gaetz. I preferred him pre-high eyebrow.
Does he have higher eyebrows?
Well, there's a couple of memes going around of him. I think when he was speaking at the RNC, that he just had probably a lot of makeup and stuff on. He looked different.
I didn't see that. I do know he rarely ever shows the bottom teeth.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy. When he's going to be on TV, that news came out last night, and that he is going to have a show on OAN. I'm just going to watch to see if I see his teeth.
I know that about you. That's why I always walk in here and I'm like, hey, Annie. I make sure to show you my bottom teeth. Just to, you know, ease the tension. Cut the ice. Break the ice. Not cut the ice. Cut the tension. Just for the record, I don't cut the ice.
I'm going to skip over to this other article here on Forbes before we head out here. As long as Forbes lets me read it, doesn't make me pay for it. Oh, I have one of four free articles. That's good.
Nice.
Forbes.com. You never know. Jan E. Fried is the author here. But it's talking about secrets that retirees keep. Let me get the headline here. 5 secrets happy retirees keep from their children. Are your parents retired?
Mm-hmm.
Your parents are retired?
No.
Your parents are not retired? My parents are retired. The first one is leave careers behind. After living a life driven by ambition, the biggest secret happy retirees keep to themselves is how fulfilling life can be without it. The focus changes from trying to be an important somebody, being a player, to becoming a nobody, yet living in an engaged way. Many retirees who hail from the boomer generation realize that we let our ambition get out of hand, and we are now happy to disengage from pushing ourselves to succeed and explore a less driven pace for ourselves. I think it would be very nice to just be able to be like, I don't care about any of that.
So be it, but you do have to still do something.
Yeah.
You got to participate in life.
But it doesn't have to be for accolades or climbing the corporate ladder or whatever it is. Like, all of a sudden you really like to garden, so you just do gardening.
Your motivation has to change.
Yeah. Number 2, accumulating is a burden. Have your parents gone through the get your stuff out of my house, I'm throwing it out the door into a dumpster?
Kinda. They probably still have some stuff at their house, but yeah.
It's probably been thrown away.
No, my dream team, 1992 Sports Illustrated, what were they called?
Swimsuit edition?
No, not the swimsuit edition. I don't want to see Chris Mullins in a two-piece. But
what is this, 2024?
Yeah. What are they called? The little action figures that were sports guys. There's a name for it.
I know what you're talking about.
And you can't figure it out either. Yeah. Somebody in the chat.
I've got one of Ozzie Smith doing a
backflip.
Yeah,
exactly.
Forbes says the first half of life tends to focus on accumulating things. Gathering objects, experiences, and even certain relationships can confer comfort, status, and beauty. Plus, collecting things and even people is fun. However, most happy retirees eventually discover the joy that comes from getting rid of all the material things we accumulated over the years. I'm starting to understand. I've got 4 kids, so we have a lot of stuff. And I would like to have less of those things cluttering up space.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3, we're really not that busy. A big part of being retired is the earned freedom and flexibility of choosing when and where we want to do things. We get to be in control of our time doing nothing, just reading, listening to music, or gazing at a flower. It's perfectly fine. However, other people may not understand the value of that nothing time and be more than willing to fill up empty space with demands or busy work. Doing nothing is doing something. I crave it.
I don't say it. Gazing at a flower is something, though. It's not really doing nothing.
What do you do when you gaze at flowers?
I just look at the beauty of the flower. I think of God's creation. I talk about the bees and the birds.
I believe that.
It devolves into a really gross conversation.
Creepy possible way. That's why you're not allowed to go into the gardens
anymore.
And got banned from those. Number 4, we were never in control. Much of our pre-retirement years were invested in the goal of life mastery and to control everything we could. In this new life stage of retirement, we are forced to admit that our powers are limited. We never really had the ability to fix, cure, or solve everything for everybody. I do feel like my entire pursuit right now of life is to try to control everything that I can control for the best possible outcome for everybody who's involved that I need to care for. And it is unsettling when you are occasionally reminded of how little control you can actually have. There's a piece of knowing that in retirement that I think would be...
There's a piece of knowing that in general.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Last one, continue to go and grow. We think retirement should liberate us from our pressures that have driven us through life. We want all of our issues handled without more drama or challenges to overcome. Osborne teaches that it's worth the effort to try. However, even the happiest retirees report that life post-career, even with money, is not carefree, and that's okay. This can be the time to take calculated risks and accept challenges. While we don't have to go skydiving, we can use this time to pursue passions and interests we had put on the back burner earlier in life and embrace what it means to be fully alive. I think that would be the fun thing about retirement, is being able to take your time and whatever in monies that you have and be able to just do it in things that are just for the sake of doing it and not some super long haul plan. Like when you look at your retirement account right now, you're really looking at it through the lens of decades, as 40 somethings here in this room, decades before that comes to fruition. And then one day you're living off of it. What do you do with that time?
I already look backward and am much more grateful for the things that I've done and accomplished now, that I would think that that's something that just grows the older you get. That you just look back and you're just grateful for the things that you have.
And I think it's the 40 is about the time where you start looking backwards. You're looking forwards because that's what you've always done. But when you start looking backwards again, that can be kind of jarring also.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's a transition to being over the hill.
Yeah. YouTube live chat poll for today is, do you care if your favorite entertainers are good people? Yes or no? Go vote. And we will get those results with Ethan in the room here when we come back, including some of your comments on this poll question today. How much does it affect you when an entertainer that you like, you find out that they are not a good person? Quick Rick said, I do care if people are, quote, good, but it's not limited to entertainers. I like for all to be the best they can be. Let us know what you think. We'll be right back.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. It's a big show today. We were able to speak with Senator Eric Schmidt at 1:25, right before that, Andy McCarthy in the 1 o'clock hour. But also, we had Meredith Knopp on. She's the president and CEO at the St. Louis Area Food Bank. Got to speak with her in the 12 o'clock hour. Tomorrow is our Ruler Foods Food Drive in St. Charles, and we need you to show up. We need you to come out, and we need you to donate. We need you to be generous and charitable, because this is an opportunity for us to use our platform that, you know, we get to come on here and talk about important things and then goof around and talk about other things and generally have a great time. But we get to take any sort of capital that we have together as an Annie Fry Show community, put it together for something that is greater than our event right here. We want to go and benefit and bless the St. Louis Area Food Bank, who is blessing the bi-state region. Both sides of the river, Missouri and Illinois, are stocked by the donations that are made to the St. Louis Area Food Bank. So tomorrow is a really big day, and we really hope that you show up.
I can't wait. I love these days. I don't know what, does anybody look to see what the weather's going to be like tomorrow?
It's supposed to maybe flurry slash snow tonight, but come tomorrow, I think it's just going to be kind of wintry feeling, but not like gross or anything.
So there's
no excuse not to show up.
A couple ways that you can do this. One is that if you're going to go do your grocery shopping anyway, I actually really enjoy doing that. And then you just drop something in the cart on your way out or whatever. The other is if you're on your lunch break, whether that starts at 11 or is a little bit later, you can stop by, especially early part of the show, and see us. And now a lot of people really like to come in the 1 and 2 o'clock hour because that's when the momentum's really moving. So whatever it is, I mean, you don't have to stay long. Just come by and say hi and drop a canned good in there.
When can I go, Ryan?
You cannot come.
No.
I can't come.
I think you're
going
to be here.
Oh.
Are you? Is he?
Yeah. I'm going to be here.
Gosh, I need to argue with somebody. I needed to know that earlier. We would like to have you out there. Next time, maybe Ethan. Trisha's going, Annie. still.
Sometimes working with two show hosts, it kind of feels like what I imagine being the child of a divorced parents would be like. It's like they fight over you. Like, I want them for Christmas.
And a contentious
one.
I forget that you, I could completely slip my mind that you have other responsibilities than my show, which might also sound familiar.
It might be like better comparison for more people to understand, like being in a thruple.
What?
That more people would understand?
How does that help more people understand?
Well,
help
I think the first example is one that's so rare. But
you're
the second,
so weird. Stop it. We're running out of time. No more talking from you.
Oh, yeah.
Ethan, can you do
time
the YouTube live
chat?
Yeah, shush. We want you to come to Ruler Foods tomorrow. I might not have Ryan Wiggins sitting next to me.
Ryan might be doing Ethan's job.
Yeah, exactly. We'll swap you. You can.
I'll just be running aisle three, lane three.
Ethan, you want to take us out with the poll here today?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do it as it pops up here on the good old on the good old link here. Everything's here. We go. Finally, it pops up. 264 votes on today's YouTube live chat poll. Do you care if your favorite entertainers are good people? This one's not close today, folks. 81% say yes. 19% say no.
Ethan, do you care?
Yes, I do.
More than you don't?
Yes, I would say so. I wouldn't say it's like everything in me, but it's enough.
Yeah.
I think it matters more for children than it does for adults.
Yeah, if you're
but I still think it matters.
If you're talking about who gets to penetrate the entertainment level of your family, that becomes a whole different thing as well. Thank you for voting. Please, folks, come out and support us tomorrow at Ruler Foods in St. Charles for our annual holiday food drive. We will see you there. Mark Reardon here next.